T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yes, WTIC, Rant Line, time 860-751-4698, the Rant Line number. Before we get those rolling, let's talk to RP in Wallingford. Hi, RP.
Good afternoon, Todd. First, quickly, this is what I want to talk about, but Trump, what kills me, the bottom line here, is people call Trump the con man, and yet these same people have voted to empty their wallet on climate change and, you know, higher taxation. It's like, I mean, can you think of a better con job than the climate change hoax? It's unbelievable.
Well, it's unbelievable. At its most essential level, the business of politics is about tricking people into going along with things that are bad for them.
Terrible. But I wanted to ask you, Todd, I haven't heard anybody talk about this today, although I haven't had it on all the time. Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh were thrown a layup yesterday or the day before, and they still voted the wrong way. I'm so concerned about this. And nobody, you know, they were asked, is 2 + 2 = 4? And they said no. Is anybody just as upset as I am? I mean, the ruling was Pennsylvania voted unconstitutionally to allow 3 more days without their legislative consent to accept mail-in ballots. And they didn't. They said they denied it. Could you imagine a liberal on the court ever siding that way, like siding the opposite way of what you would expect? It never, ever happens. To me, these two are awful. I don't get it. What's your feeling?
Well, it's a complicated case, and it's hard to know what they were thinking about it. But you would expect them to have taken the opportunity to rule in such. This is one of the election cases, and there's this issue of whether it's moot now because the election's over. It's already been decided, and sometimes the judges use the mootness to escape having to make a ruling that they don't want to make. But that's what they're doing, but I don't know why they're doing it. It would have been appropriate to get the thing cleared up so it doesn't continue to haunt us.
Right. They need to prevent this type of thing from happening in the future, too.
Yes, exactly.
It's awful.
That's the point.
It's just disgusting. Well, thank you, Todd.
RP, always good to hear from you. Stay calm. Don't personalize it. It keeps going on, this fighting. It's a long haul, so we've got to keep ourselves healthy and strong and calm and fired up at the same time. 860-522-9842. Should we get the rants going?
Right now, in Rocky Hill, Connecticut, it's 43 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, yes. I did want you to hear this.
Tonight, expect a low of 33 degrees.
You know why? Because last week, all we heard about was Texas. And listen to what Alexa has to say about Dallas right now.
Right now, in Dallas, Texas, it's 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight, expect a low of 54 degrees.
All right, so they had a bad week. It's 70 degrees in Dallas, going down to 54. Oh, my, that doesn't sound so horrible, does it? Not at all.
Greetings, Todd, George and Canton. Todd, your young caller, James.
James, yes.
Last I heard him, I don't know if this was his phrase that he originated or he heard it, but I like the term Trumpican instead of Republican. Trumpican. I like that. Now, I would submit for your consideration, Todd, and the audiences, the left loves to use George Floyd and that cop as an example of what's happening in our culture. Mm-hmm. Well, I submit this for the consideration of the audience. Our value system that's been in effect for 240 years is George Floyd. The progressives are the cop with his knee on the neck of our system. They are strangling our system and trying to kill it. And if you look at that as a reverse of what they say is happening, I think it is abundantly clear that our country is rapidly becoming what used to be the land of the free and the home of the brave, the land of the fearful and the home of the compliant. Thanks very much, Todd.
I love the point you're making. I just wish your little thing at the end there had a better rhyme to it, a better rhythm to it. It doesn't even have to rhyme, but the land of the free, home of the brave, it has a certain bounce to it, but
I think it is abundantly clear that our country is rapidly becoming what used to be the land of the free and the home of the brave, the land of the fearful and the home of the compliant. Thanks very much, Todd.
It loses all of the natural movement that the land of the free and the home of the brave has. But your point is a valid one, nevertheless. I don't mean to nitpick, but that's my reaction to it. All right, here we go. Next rant.
Hi, Todd. I just had to share this with you. I just heard a blurb on the news that some pharmaceutical companies are feeling unable to go ahead and start, you know, researching and making vaccines because they're running out of monkeys to test them on. And actually, there is, I think, a consideration for starting some sort of monkey reserve. So anyway, I just wanted to share with you my idea, the first person they ought to put in it, based on his behavior and resemblant actions. And that would be Governor Cuomo. Thank you.
Resemblant actions. Now, there is a beautiful turn of phrase. I don't know. I've not heard the word used in that form, resemblant. Yes, Cuomo is that kind of guy. 860-522-9842. Rant line, you can still phone him in. 860-751-4698.
Yeah, hello, Todd. This is a great patriot. And you had a caller earlier that was whining about everyone hates Donald Trump. And that is true because of the simple fact that he was an antagonist and he just wanted to bother people, aggravate people, mainly the Democratic Party and the media. He would call the media fake news, which was all real news, just because they would call him out on one of his 30,000 lies or several of his 30,000 lies. So he had no other recourse but to go ahead and call him fake news. That's all he had because he was caught red-handed in yet another lie. He was the most aggravating, annoying president and divisive. No other president divided this country in its history like him.
This is our one regular liberal caller to the rant line. And he's a great resource because he is so, I don't even know if he's doing satire or if he actually believes himself. But it shows, I think it's a lesson for people on both sides that when we are just repeating talking points and saying things that are blatantly false because we're so devoted to the belief in those things that that's problematic for trying to convince people. If you listen, like listen to this part.
He would call the media fake news, which was all real news.
Everything the media writes is real, according to this guy who calls himself the Great Patriot, which of course is a bizarre thing to say for its obvious falsehood.
Just because they would call him out on one of his 30,000 lies or several of his 30,000 lies. So he had no other recourse but to go ahead and call him fake news. That's all he had because he was caught red-handed in yet another lie.
Fake news is a big problem on all different levels. But certainly one of the big levels is that our what is considered to be our news media and used to be fairly reliable is no longer reliable.
He was the most aggravating, annoying president and divisive. No other president divided this country in its history like him.
Well, he did try to do that. He was looking to magnify the disparities of opinion. However, I would say that when you run around as a political party calling your opponents racists all the time, simply for having political opinions, that that's very divisive. It doesn't quite get people's attention for some reason, the same way Donald Trump, being Donald Trump, does. But 860-522-9842. Bob is in Newington. Hello there, Bob.
Good afternoon, Todd. My opinion about Donald winning in 2024, if he runs,
yes,
it'll be by a landslide. He won't have COVID to deal with. He won't have the Democrats in impeaching him every half hour while he was president. I think that things will quiet down. He'll realize some of the mistakes he made, which I don't think were too many, and he will. He'll come back and he'll win it with hands down.
What do you think the biggest mistake was that he made?
I think he kept talking about, you know, the election, the fraudulent election piece. He kept talking about the Democrats, well, the fake news piece, and that alienated the news media to no end. So they had all the ammunition they needed to go after him in that area, and they did a damn good job of it, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know if he was hurt by that because he got elected because of those things. That turned out, he didn't use them as tricks, but they turned out to be a trick. It was a way to hack the media and hack the political process. So Trump was in a race against 16 other Republicans. He drowned out their ability to get any attention because he was so outrageous that he was all the media wrote about. And as a result, he won the election. So he was president because he was outrageous and was always poking at the media. On the other hand, sometimes maybe he went too far, and sometimes he created too many enemies. He also went after all the intelligence agencies and of all, you know, the most powerful forces in our country and the most dangerous anti-democratic forces in our country. And Donald Trump walks right up to him and pokes him in the eye. And so, yeah, I think he suffered because of that. I think they conspired. He triggered a lot of deep state antagonism. But that's his way. I don't think he can change that.
Well, the Republican Party's got four more years to get their act together and get behind Trump if he runs again. I'm hoping he does.
Yeah, I'm not so optimistic. So this is my concern. Thank you, Bob, for the call. My concern is that that I think the party needs to move on from Trump. And I don't know how that happens with Trump still around, but with Trump still around, then it's the same old song and dance. And right now in states like Connecticut, everybody's, you know, all Democrats do is accuse Republicans of being Trumpites, and they feel like they've done their job and they motivate their voters on that. That's why the last couple election cycles, in my mind, have been bad ones in the state.
Socialism only works for those who won't. Wake up, America.
Did you hear that? It's hard to understand, but I've never heard that expression, but I think it's great. Socialism only works for people who won't.
Socialism only works for those who won't. Wake up, America.
Isn't that beautiful? I love that.
And Governor, you followed Governor Cuomo pretty closely through this process. Given the nursing home death undercount in New York, have you lost confidence in the governor?
No.
Wasn't that amazing? That was yesterday at the press conference. Jolly Ned was psyched to pledge allegiance to Mario Cuomo's son.
And Governor, you followed Governor Cuomo pretty closely through this process. Given the nursing home death undercount in New York, have you lost confidence in the governor?
No.
Well, I don't really care what you think.
That was my own little edit there just to make a little trouble.
Hey, all you Biden lovers out there, can you answer the question? Why, if you don't think Joe Biden is mentally crippled, can you tell me any good reason why Joe Biden would not have had a live in-person press conference yet after coming up on 40 days of him allegedly being the president?
Yeah, good question.
Hey, Todd, I was just wondering how much longer we're going to have to listen to this moron governor say the same thing he said for 8 months.
Well, I guess I'll just defer to Josh on that one. Why doesn't he just defer the entire conference to Josh?
Well, that's a good question. He does love referring to Josh. Adam East Hartford, what's up?
Todd, there was a gentleman 2 days ago that had to be on Friday, and you couldn't even understand the message. You know, I didn't recognize him from any of these talk show programs, but he was from maybe Meriden or Newington. He said, Adam from East Hartford, get a life. I'm wondering if that's because on Friday you and I were discussing how Trump is hurting the Republican Party. Maybe that's why the guy was upset.
Oh, maybe. I couldn't figure out what he was referring back to, but that might have been it.
Because I know you're a conservative, and you were a Trump voter, but just not necessarily a Trump supporter. And you just knew that this constant complaining about the rigged election. And really, I had a Republican senator yesterday being interviewed, and I know you're not going to agree with CBS News, but he said it's politics became weird when we have a weird worship of just one dude.
Yeah, well, politics is pretty messed up, which they don't cover all the rest of the time, too. Thank you, Adam. WTIC. That's not me on guitar, unfortunately. Okay, we'll take a phone call or two in a moment. I've just got to play for you, before I forget, King Ned's Comedy Club, the great feature that has grown out of the rant line, King Ned's Comedy Club appearance. Here's the latest one.
Join us at Gateway Comedy Club with a professional stand-up comedy show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our next comedian of the night, he claims to be the governor of Connecticut. Let's give it up for Ned Lamont.
We feeling okay?
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Cuomo, in this case, has been a good partner for the state of Connecticut. Let me get back to you with more clarity on that first thing next week. We don't anticipate any big delays, but there may be some small delays. Press 2 if you want some of the underserved population. I see a light at the end of the tunnel, but put your foot on the accelerator, guys. Take it, Josh.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
All right, thank you, everybody. I'm getting the signal from Max. Thanks, everybody.
Everywhere he goes, Max is giving him the signal. Let's go to Bill East Hartford. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how you doing?
What's
in
your mind,
sir? I'm curious to find out. They talk about all the people dying, 500 million people dying,
yes,
in this country. And, okay, how many were on Social Security or never collected their Social Security? Where is all that money going? And why do they keep saying that Social Security is going broke when every day, if you look in the obituaries, people are dying like flies?
Well, it's still, you know, they do anticipate that everybody's going to die. It's just a matter of when and how much it costs and how much was put in. And what, they also have beneficiaries that go beyond them, too. Joe in Meriden. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. You have a great show.
Thank you, sir.
I
You know, I'm a Marine, you know, and I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. And let me tell you something, the way I feel about Trump, I think he's going to go down as one of the greatest presidents that ever lived. This guy has done everything he said he was going to do. He's for the people. He was not for himself. He's not even seeking a dollar for himself. This guy was on his way of really making America great. Not like the state of Connecticut, which we're going to be the state welfare of the world.
They're doing their best.
I don't understand how that they can knock this president Trump down, because he's built the military. We didn't even have arms in this last war, and he helped us.
Joe, thank you for the call. Great to get your input. Yeah, we're rocking the Casbah and everything else here on WTIC, especially when Tom Scott is around, former state senator and longtime behind-the-scenes cajoler and headbanger of Republican politics. Hello, Thomas.
How you doing today, Todd?
It's just so good to have you here. Did you hear the I don't know if you've had a chance to hear these comedy bits that we Steve from NBC Hatem is providing us. Did you hear the
about Governor Gumby?
Yes.
Yeah, the flexible one, Flexi, Governor Flexi, whatever you want to call him. You know, Todd, I think that's a great bit. And comedy is especially funny and compelling when it has a lot of accurate components associated with it, as this one does. You know, it's funny. You mentioned the governor. I'll mention that I stand proudly in solidarity with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union and their president of Local 919, Mark Espinoza. By the way, their headquarters is right down the road from your studio. Grocery store employees have worked longer, harder, and they've been at greater risk during this pandemic, and they receive a lot less money than public school teachers. And they were stiffed by the governor. They were not included in this latest round of vaccinations. And by the way, I think teachers ought to be vaccinated, if for no other reason, to get them back in the classroom where they belong. But to ignore these hardworking grocery store workers, I think, is a disgrace.
Well, it's also particularly stark, is it not, to get rid of the current system, which rates people by their value as a group, and to replace it with an age-based system, but then have one exception for the teachers, yeah, who are the only people who have proven themselves unwilling to go to work. And at least back in the classroom. And the reason for that is because they don't want to take the risk that the grocery store workers take every day that you're referring to.
Yeah, I mean, Todd, I remember the early days of this pandemic when people were panicking and the lines were out the door.
It was scary.
Before people were wearing masks. Everybody knew there was some risk, although we were still learning about the degree to which people were at risk. But and this is before the plexiglass and all that stuff. And these people were showing up for work. I hope that when the pandemic subsides, that when we do our retrospective, we look at how some of these towns handled the opening of schools, because they're inconsistent, as you know. Some towns are open, some have a hybrid, some have some grades come in several days a week, other kids are home, you know, the whole time. And superintendents of schools have been making the decision, as opposed to the elected Board of Education. This is happening in town after town after town, where we are deferring, where parents and taxpayers are deferring to the unelected bureaucrats. And I'm not knocking superintendents. I mean, they're hired for a reason. They have a certain expertise they bring to the table. But it is unfortunate that the elected, theoretically accountable Board of Ed members are deferring to their superintendents and aren't asking the hard questions. How many kids in some of these towns and cities are totally and completely unaccounted for, Todd? And how many kids are going to be held back because there is not sufficient accountability and supervision? How many kids are only achieving half of their math and science and reading and writing qualifications in a given grade? These are tough questions that we need to start asking.
No, there are kids, absolutely large numbers of kids who are being left behind. And even the ones who aren't being left behind, I mean, those numbers of kids who the schools have lost contact with or who are missing days every week and just not performing. But there's a larger thing going on where there are kids who are doing the school, but the school isn't normal school. And they're not getting the normal education, and young people require contact with other kids. They learn through play rather than the way the adult mind learns through exercising the ideas. And all this is being ignored because of the power of a special interest group that has an insidious partnership with the dominant political party in the state. And everybody's sitting around going along with it. Like this is somehow a legitimate exercise of government power.
You know, Todd, I know, and you're right, and I know plenty of teachers who really want to be in the classroom. Many of these same teachers also want to be vaccinated out of an abundance of caution, and who can blame them? But you're right. We've deferred to the leaders of these public unions in many of these towns, and we've deferred to unelected superintendents of schools who should not be making these big policy decisions. Those are the people that should be implementing the decisions, executing the decisions made by the local elected school boards. So it's not just
also
the superintendent.
Why do you think this? Why aren't the school boards doing it?
I would suggest that if there are dissident school board members listening to the show, they could probably call you, Todd, and tell that story better than I can. I've talked to members of school boards. I've talked to parents who have talked to their own members of school boards, and they're just deferring to these superintendents. It isn't even the unions. It's the superintendents, in part because I think they feel that their knowledge about how to handle all of this is inadequate. Now, the school board members are volunteers, and many of them are hardworking volunteer citizens. Many of them are extremely equipped when it comes to educational issues. But their job is to ask questions. They don't need to know the answers in advance. They need to go into these superintendents and start demanding accountability, because in many towns, we don't have it. These schools are being run by the superintendents, and that's not the model in Connecticut. They're the bureaucrats. They're the hired help.
But maybe that's a flaw in the model, because when you're dealing with people who are not professionals and are coming from their community and worried about their popularity with the teachers, I mean, part of the stranglehold that the unions have is that teachers are immensely popular people who are deeply intertwined with the community and the lives of the families who are impacted by the services they provide. And there's something there that makes it difficult for the local government to be able to make the decisions it needs to make and to have a fight over something like sending teachers in to do the job that they are being paid to do, and to not acknowledge that it's gross and cruel to taxpayers to have a rigged system that is so out of whack, where the power is so bent in the wrong direction, that teachers get to decide what the conditions of their employment are rather than the employer.
And let me narrow it down a little bit, if I may, Todd. In my experience, most teachers have nothing to do with their union. They pay the dues and they go about their work, and they're there because they really love being in the classroom, and they're dedicated to the proposition of learning and helping kids and so forth. I know a lot of teachers, and I'm sure you do too. Most teachers have nothing to do with the union, and that creates a vacuum, and it allows the more radical elements of the National Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers. Those are the two big public teacher unions in America. The National Education Association at the national level, at the leadership level, is one of the most radical unions in America. But in many ways, except for salaries and pensions, which teachers ought to care about, the average teacher has no idea what those union leaders are up to. They don't even realize just how radical these union leaders are at the national level. And that's part of the problem. What, you know, teachers don't have time, for the most part, to get involved with their unions.
Yeah, and thank you for the clarification, because, of course, that's true. That teachers, this is not about teachers. That's part of the tragedy of this. The conversation we're having is about the education unions, the thing that exists as a third party that interferes with everything because of its partnership with the unions. And that's what we're calling out. All right, Thomas, anything else about that you wanted to say? Oh, sorry. I just put you back off the air instead of on. More thoughts on the union situation?
In terms of the private sector unions, you heard it here. I am in solidarity with the AFL-CIO Associated United Food and Commercial Workers Union. They've got great leadership, and they're right about these vaccinations.
And because they're only a few hundred yards from the radio station, I guess.
Yeah, listen, when the pandemic subsides, you ought to go over and have a cup of coffee with those guys. Great, great, great.
Good idea.
I saw them.
All right, so I wanted to bring something to your attention because I think this is interesting. There was a, I forget where this story was the other day. I printed it out, but it's not showing where it was from. Anyway, the Connecticut governor defends refusal to increase taxes on the wealthy. And what this story lays out is what seems to be a problem developing for the governor. I wonder if I'm misreading it. Because you've got the core radical anti-American constituency of the Democratic Party pushing for higher taxes and mad that he wants to use federal dollars in his budget to increase spending on education and not to do what would be a permanent appropriation that would reoccur next year, I guess, or in 2 years. And they're pushing for higher taxes on everybody because rich people should, in their minds, be paying higher taxes automatically because they've got money that the voters for the Democratic Party don't have. And on the other hand, this quote just jumped out to me, and this is what I wanted to get your feedback on, Tom. We're talking to Tom Scott. Listen to this. The state's hot housing market gives Connecticut an opportunity to market itself to new residents when the state can afford to make big investments in education and can help struggling cities and towns without seeking new revenue, Mr. Lamont said. Here's the killer quote. Why would you want to raise taxes when you don't have to, Mr. Lamont said. And I'm wondering if he's in some zone where he doesn't understand what the Democratic Party is. There's no such thing as not having to raise taxes.
Well, you know, Todd, this really is along the lines of what we were talking about last week, where Lamont is kind of a traditional old-line liberal, but not a hardcore radical leftist like so many of the leaders.
But does he understand the difference? Does he understand the conflict that represents?
I don't, you know, I can't get into the privacy of his mind, but I just don't think the guy's that bright, to be honest with you. And he may get it, he may not get it. He may be looking to November of 2022, if he runs for reelection, as using this as an opportunity to appear moderate. He may believe what he said, Todd, because I believe essentially what he said. See, the hardcore radicals in his party in Connecticut, they're looking at the long game. They realize that this federal money that we're going to get under the guise of COVID-19, where they want to bail out pensions and everything else, those are one-shot revenues. That money is not going to be around in year two or three. But if we use this crisis to impose new taxes or increase existing taxes, they'll be here forever. And the left gets that. And I think Lamont gets it, too. I don't want to be overly harsh. To some extent, he is a numbers guy. The J.P. Morgan DNA and the fact that he can read a spreadsheet because he's got such a big trust fund. And I assume he's been, you know, carefully reading that over the years.
But isn't he setting himself up for trouble?
Or not, I don't know.
Isn't he setting himself up for trouble staking out this territory. I think you're right that he's looking to create a dynamic where he's pushing back against the big spenders and he looks prudent, but he could face a challenger or something, couldn't he?
Well, he could, and he understands that probably better than most, because he challenged a very popular sitting Democrat U.S. senator in Joe Lieberman and took him out in a primary. And he was sort of seen politically as a giant killer when he did that. He understands the dynamic of a primary instinctively because he's been in a bunch of them, and he's won some and he's lost some. And no one is invincible in this climate, but I think he feels he's pretty secure. Think about all the Democratic organizations that would have to step up and publicly oppose him and take the risk of aligning themselves with a challenger to Lamont when Lamont would be favored to win the primary. I'm not saying he couldn't be taken out in a primary, but I think it's a tall order.
Well, no, that makes a lot of sense, but we are in uncharted waters with the state of politics in America today, it seems to me. And to snub your nose at the radicals, that just seems dangerous to me. But we'll see. It's going to be fun to see it play out. Tom? Yes, quick. We've got 10 seconds.
If he feels he's in trouble, he'll just write out a check for another $10 million. That buys a lot of goodwill in politics.
Well, yeah, it certainly does. Good point. All right, Tom Scott, thank you, sir. We'll see you again next week. Great to have you with us, as always.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.